Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. That time of year, office productivity slips, meetings get canceled, lunch breaks, well, they turn into hours. The NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament is a nationwide event, as sports fans everywhere work on their brackets, and the best place to get in all the action is Yahoo Sports Tourney Pick'em. On today's This Week in America, Bracket Brad Evans, Yahoo Sports killer bracketologist. He's received two Emmy nominations for his webcast Fantasy Football Live each NFL Sunday. He's a five-time winner, the College Sports Writer of the Year from the Fantasy Sports Writers Association, also the most accurate bracket predictor among microsites since 2008. To give us some tips for Yahoo's Tourney Pick'em, Bracket Brad Evans back with us on This Week in America. Brad, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Merry March Madness. Thanks for having me on.
This is really an exciting time of year. In fact, when you think about it, the opening weekend, NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament, is this the best weekend in sports?
Unrivaled, in my opinion. You know, a lot of people love the Super Bowl, but I mean, it's just one game.
Yes,
we have
yes.
multiple games. And, you know, it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, from basically, you know, sun up to sundown. It's ridiculous nonstop adrenaline action. And it's a phenomenal event. It is the greatest sporting event on the calendar every single year. This is why people shirk their working duties, and we burn through millions and billions of dollars in terms of lack of productivity at our jobs. So it's phenomenal.
Yeah, and it's not just on game day. Right now, people are sitting around behind the boss's back trying to, they're discussing how they're going to get the brackets together. You've had a chance to look at the bracket this year. Anything jump out at you?
Well, I think immediately, I think the selection committee did a phenomenal job, you know, picking the teams. I didn't have any gripes whatsoever with all of 68 selections that they had. You know, a little bit of wonkiness in terms of some of the seeds and where they were placed specifically. I thought a couple teams were underseeded in terms of, like, Wichita State as a 10 seed. I thought they deserved a 7. I think some teams were overseeded as well. But for the most part, the committee did a great job. And we got some compelling storylines in many of these opening round games. And I think in general, too, it's a very balanced bracket. I mean, it's going to be very difficult to pick an accurate bracket this season. I think a lot of people are going to have bloody brackets and wadded up pool sheets and trash bins probably after the first day of action.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe by late afternoon on Thursday, people are going to be second-guessing themselves on how they pick this year. You know, winning the office pool is nice. Winning $25,000, even nicer. How do we get started in Yahoo Sports Tourney Pick'em?
Well, it's easy. Just go to yahoo.com/tourney. Again, yahoo.com/tourney to get in on the action. As you mentioned, the $25,000 grand prize, that's just the overall champion. You don't have to get every game right. And we're not talking about a perfect bracket. We're talking about the best bracket overall. We have a bunch of celebrity pools as well. For some strange reason, Yahoo believes that I'm a celebrity. So I have my own celebrity pool as well. If you sign up for mine specifically, there's also $1,000 of StubHub gift cards at stake. And we've got some other great celebrities like the Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown you could play against, our own Katie Couric, news woman extraordinaire, and Gabby Douglas, the former Olympian. So, and they all have unique prizes tied to their respective celebrity pools. So, again, yahoo.com/tourney to get in, and it's absolutely free.
And it gives you a lot of great information there. This time of year, you get novices that are like, I really would like to participate in this, but I really don't know that much about it. This is a year for novices as well, isn't it? This is a great time of year for them to get involved. And if you go to Yahoo Sports, Fantasy Sports, you're going to find a lot of great information.
Yeah, exactly. My Bracket Flames article is already live right now on Yahoo Sports. Those are my sleeper and Cinderella picks, you know, in the opening rounds and really the deeper rounds as well, the NCAA tournament. My bracket lames will be posted on Tuesday, so you can see which teams you should avoid marching on the bracket lines as well, or do the opposite of what I say, because I probably curse myself, you know, putting my neck out there. But yeah, there's some great information throughout our site and our Dagger blog, whether it's video or podcast or, you know, common text pieces that are out there. But there's also some great secondary analytics sites like KenPom.com. If you're big into numbers and some of the advanced measurements that are out there, that's a tremendous site that does a lot of predictive analysis and breaks things down on a granular level, team by team. So a little bit of flavor for whether you're a novice or an expert or in between to get the information you need to hopefully succeed in your bracket pool this year.
You know, everybody would like to see Billy Bob's Teacher College knock off a number one seed in the opening round. That's just not going to happen, is it?
No, 16th ever beat a one. I don't see it happening. I mean, we've had some close calls
yes.
this year, but I think this this pool of 16 seeds, nothing extraordinary about any of them. And I think the number ones are pretty rock solid and present a lot of matchup problems for those 16. So, no, unfortunately, that donut will continue to roll on here in 2017.
If you go to your website, you'll see your five tips. We all get caught up in Cinderella's talk about that. We love the underdogs to the point where we are throwing away our brackets early in the tournament.
Yeah, I think people sometimes overpick the double-digit seeds. Now, last year, I mean, if you picked a number of double-digit seeds and you picked the right ones, you had a tremendous amount of success. One-third of teams seeded between 11 and 15 marched on to the round of 32. So typically, though, it's around four or five upsets in a given year that occur. And I'm qualifying that as, you know, teams seeded 11 or lower. 10 over a 7 is not really an upset. A 9 over an 8 is not really an upset. So, you know, don't get crazy with the cheese whiz, but pick a handful of upsets and hopefully you'll nail them. And in many cases, that will be the difference of you winning or losing your pool overall.
And we get caught up in some stories. Northwestern is a great story this year. Talk about separating the emotion from actually using your head and thinking this through.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a heart guy. You know, it is a heartfelt story with Northwestern finally getting over the hump and ending their streak of futility. You know, getting in the NCAA tournament for the first time ever, or, you know, you look at Michigan, you know, staying in the Big Ten, and their harrowing journey, plane crashing,
yes.
getting off the runway before the Big Ten tournament. They are able to, you know, escape that harrowing episode and really translate that onto the court and roll through the Big Ten conference tournament to cut down the nets, one of the great stories of this year's college basketball season. But, you know, I'm a gut guy first. I always fill out two brackets, the gut immediately, which I have in my hand right now, that I filled out as soon as the pairings were released, and then I do a brain bracket. So I let things simmer a bit, and then I sit down late at night, a couple of barley pops, and start dissecting the field and fill it out that way. So, you know, everybody's got their own strategy, but I think going with your gut and your brain is a good mixture.
As you look at the top four seeds, they're all solid. People can't really complain much with it with the top four seeds, but it's unlikely all four are going to make it to the final four. Talk about the most vulnerable of the top seeds that you feel.
I honestly think it's Kansas because this is a team that has flirted with disaster down the stretch. A number of times it was against West Virginia or Oklahoma. They got buried late in the second half and had to make a furious comeback on their home floor to win the game. Now, they're not going to have the luxury. You know, they will in the first couple of rounds. Being a one seed, it's going to be a very pro-Kansas crowd. But still, on a neutral court floor, you know, I think Kansas, if they play with fire again, they're going to get burned. And that's a team I do have getting to the Elite Eight, but I wouldn't be surprised if they got tripped up in the round of 16 to an Iowa State team if they were to face one another again. They split in the regular season, and Iowa State ended the 55-game home win streak of Kansas earlier this year. But I also think that Michigan team, again, they're just going to carry that momentum from the Big Ten title, playing exceptional basketball both ends of the floor right now, matchup problems galore because it can really spread you out. I think that is a dangerous team, and one, if they do play Kansas in the Elite Eight, will upend the Jayhawks and spring the upset.
As you look at these teams, you see a lot of history. Is that good to factor in the history or not necessarily relevant because every couple of years the teams change?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much turnover. I wouldn't focus on brand name. Take, for example, a team like Kentucky. Okay, it's a blue blood. Kentucky has the most NCAA tournament wins of any school in tournament history. But this is a team that I think got a horrific draw. And it's not because of the Fighting Norse of Northern Kentucky that they're going to play in the opening round, kind of fun for geographic reasons in that locale, the Bluegrass State. But the fact that they could potentially face Wichita State, again, a team that I felt was underseeded as a 10 seed in round two, I'd be shivering in my sneakers if I'm a member of Big Blue Nation because that Wichita State Shockers team is phenomenal. And they have very few weaknesses. They're very deep. They're better than the Ron Baker, Fred VanVleet, you know, versions we saw a couple of years ago. I think, you know, that's a team. You're going to look at Kentucky and be like, oh, they're going to go to the Final Four. They're Kentucky. But I could see Kentucky exiting stage left early on. So don't pick based on name recognition alone.
We're talking with Bracket Brad Evans, Yahoo Sports attorney. Pick him. All the information available at the website. We'll give you the website here again where you can sign up for a chance to win $25,000. A couple minutes left. Let's talk about Cinderellas, because everybody wants to do at least a few Cinderellas. And you say if you're going to, offense, you have to find a team that can play offense.
Yeah, I mean, historically, in recent years, it's actually since 2002, and this is a statistic tracked by KenPom.com, again, that great numeric site that's out there. The teams that have sprung upsets as double-digit seeds typically have one characteristic, majority speaking. 60% of them, actually, ranked inside the top 75 in offensive efficiency. So you want a team that can get hot, right? And there's a couple of teams that I look offensively that have those fiery digits, one being UNC Wilmington. Classic could be 12 over 5 upset against a struggling Virginia team, though Virginia plays fantastic defense. I think UNC Wilmington just has too many weapons, and Virginia just can't score the basketball right now. I could see that one happening. And also, I think the play-in teams have a huge advantage in the NCAA tournament because they get the butterflies out of the way, get a win under their belt, the confidence soars. So watch out for Wake Forest. If Wake Forest gets past Kansas State and they're playing matchup in Dayton, coming up early in the week here, that's a team I could see not only winning that opening game, but also winning in the next round and marching on to the round of 32 at the expense of Cincinnati. So there are a couple of teams there that definitely check the box offensively because they're very efficient in those categories that could ride the hot hand in the next round.
How many teams realistically have a chance to cut down the nets?
Oh, realistically, I'd say probably 8 this year. And if you look at the odds that were released by MGM Casino Group last night in Vegas, I think there are 3 teams that are 8-1 to win the title, and those are the best odds out there. So the field is wide open. I wouldn't say that there is a dominant team out there. Everybody has their flaws. I think there's a good 8 teams, and it could be a little bit of a larger pool, to be honest with you. You know, it's all about getting hot at the right time. It's all about exploiting the matchups and having an easy road to the Final Four. A lot of unpredictability, but this year, yeah, it's definitely open, which will add to the dramatic flair of the NCAA tournament.
Well, we talked about that last year, the fact that it was pretty much wide open. We're talking about that this year. Is this sort of the new normal with the one and done in college basketball, the turnover? Is this sort of what we're going to see now, where there's not like a dominant one or two team that you really feel are going to carry it all the way to the end?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is one of the fallouts of the one-and-done rule, which I absolutely deplore. I hate the rule. I don't think it should exist. If a kid feels like he wants to jump from high school as a legal adult at 18 years old into the NBA, then we should not impede that desire. So the one-and-done, yeah, it's a flawed rule, but one of the repercussions is the fact that we don't have those dominant teams of yesteryear that we saw in the 80s.
Yes.
Where you got a bunch of upperclassmen, have a ton of experience, played a ton of minutes, and really play as a cohesive unit. But it also adds, too, that these mid-majors that do play that way, that do develop players over 3 to 4 years, they almost have an advantage in many cases because of that level of experience.
You know, it's interesting. Got about a minute left. I'm listening to Calipari this morning talking about, of course, he's making a case for if they have an early loss, then there's a reason for it. But he's got a lot of freshmen, and he says, we're really still trying to figure out how to play together. Obviously, that's one of the aspects of one and done as well.
Yeah, it boils down to, a cohesiveness, understanding each other's idiosyncrasies, if you will. And if you're not coming together at this point after playing, 30-some-odd games, then you don't have a whole lot of hope. Now, Calipari is, a guy that loves to serve up the humble pie.
Yes.
And that's what he's doing right now with his kids, keeping them hungry. But like I said, this Kentucky team has played very inconsistently over a full 40 minutes of play. Malik Monk is an otherworldly talent who's probably going to be an NBA lottery pick. But they have some serious flaws because they just don't put together a steady 40 minutes of play any given night.
We're talking with Bracket Brad Evans, Yahoo's Tourney Pick'em. Brad, once again, where's the website? Everybody goes, gets the information. You got a chance to win $25,000. And if you do better than Brad, you get a $1,000 StubHub gift card.
Yeah, just go to yahoo.com/tourney, yahoo.com/tourney to play. And again, it's absolutely free. It's a no-brainer, people. No-brainer.
You get great information there as well. He will walk you through the process. Brad, as always, thank you for joining us on the program. Enjoy the tournament.
Oh, you know I will. well.
You're listening to This Week in America, website thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.